I'm very humbled and thankful that you would take some time out of a beautiful summer day to sit down and listen and think about what John writes to us in Revelations and how it impacts and affects us today and those in the future. I wrote this message for June 5th of 2022, titled it, The First Beast. Our Bible context is Revelations chapter 13, and we will cover 1 to 5. So, counterfeit. What do you think of when I say counterfeit? What does that mean to you? I looked up the definition. Counterfeit, made in an exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intent to deceive or be defrauded. So a counterfeit is something that's made as close as possible to the original, but it's a fake. My outline, the first beast. Point one, a beast comes out of the sea. Point two, the dragon gives authority to the beast. So we got the beast coming out of the sea and then the dragon giving its authority to it. Satan himself tries to counterfeit God the Father. Satan stages a mock creation when he brings forth this image from the sea. So, Satan the dragon is trying to counterfeit God, and he represents in this section of scripture his counterfeit of the Father. And Genesis 1, 2 says this, in God's real creation, it is beautiful. Revelation 13, 1, in Satan's, the dragon's counterfeit creation, it's ugly. So when God created it in Genesis chapter 1, it was a beautiful thing, amazingly beautiful. And we live in a fallen world and it's still pretty nice. But Satan's counterfeit is downright scary, ugly. The NIV Reader's Version of Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to try to read verses 1 and 2 without coughing. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. The earth didn't have any shape. It was empty. Darkness was over the surface of the ocean. At that time, the ocean covered the earth. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The dragon stood on the seashore. So, my point there is, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So now if we jump forward to Revelation 13:1, the dragon stood on the seashore. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads. There were 10 crowns on his horns. On each head was an evil name that was displeasing to God. That's the end of my comparison of those two. So stop for a moment and think about creation versus evolution. Those are the two main important components of the world we live in. Either God made all of this and he's smarter than all of us, or it made itself and we ourselves are gods. I mean, that's the bottom line. In the evolution idea, something, whatever that thing is, crawls out of the water, and sometime later, it becomes us, right? And over the years, as I've watched this idea evolve, what they keep doing is adding larger sections of time between when this happened to when that happens. Extravagant amounts of time. Thinking it, you know, if they throw enough time at it, it'll both funkle anybody. Now, so in Revelations, this beast comes up from the water. In the evolution, something crawls out of the water. In God's creation, all things start with water. So as we read Genesis, the water covered the whole earth. So when God created things, obviously, they all come from something that once upon a time was underwater. Let's say someone wanted to create a well-done counterfeit. So you want to counterfeit something. Where would one start? Where the original started, of course. Clean off $1 bills and print 20s on them. So if you take the paper that a $1 bill is made on and use chemicals and remove the ink, then you could print 20s over top of it. And that's what George Floyd was trying to do when he got in trouble with the police, trying to pass off a counterfeit 20. And just a little bit of dishonesty caused a great deal of disaster and personal loss to many people. Many think that the beast from the sea is the counterfeit Christ. Many think that the beast from the sea is a counterfeit Holy Spirit. So, the beast from the sea is a counterfeit Christ, and the beast from the earth is a counterfeit Holy Spirit. And we'll cover that next week. But, in Revelation 13, 1-5, the dragon stood on the seashore, and I saw a beast coming from the sea. It had 10 horns, 7 heads, and crowns on its horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power, and his throne, and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. That's the end. Now, the dragon, the beast from the sea, and the beast from the earth are very impressive. All of them are extremely impressive. And in God's scene of this grand drama, it appears that God is out of control. But the truth is that the plot has thickened, and the climax is waiting in the wing to come on stage. So it's just that the intensity has been elevated in God's grand drama, but the climax is ready. It's coming soon. So the first beast, a beast coming out of the sea, because the beast, the Antichrist, is a false Messiah, he will be a counterfeit Christ. The beast will even stage false resurrection, Revelation 13:14. A on your outline. The dragon, the beast of the sea, and the beast of the earth. So your three blanks are dragon, sea, earth. So first we had the dragon, and now we have the beast of the sea, and next week we will have the beast of the earth. John MacArthur thinks that this standing by the sea represents the nations of this world, represented by the sand on the seashore. Essentially, Satan's followers are as many as the sand on the seashore. And John thinks that this rising up from the sea represents the abyss or pit, the haunt of his demons. The picture of Satan summoning this powerful demon from the abyss, who activates and controls the beast, the Antichrist, and his empire. B on your outline. These are the unholy trinity. Unholy trinity are your two blanks. So the three of these is the unholy trinity. The dragon is a counterfeit of the Father. The beast of the sea is a counterfeit of Jesus. And the beast of the earth is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. The true Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Counterfeit. Stop and think. How does our federal government teach people in the Treasury Department to discover counterfeit money? So, the Department of the Treasury, the federal government, investigates counterfeiting. How do they teach those people to know what's counterfeit? Well, they study the genuine, the real federal currency. That's what they do. They focus on learning every detail of the federal currency. So how would you and I discover the devil's counterfeit activities? If we wanted to be trained to discover counterfeit, what would we do? It just seems to be true that one would study and come to know the genuine true Christ. If you knew the true Christ, you wouldn't accept counterfeit. Right? Think about it. The first beast coming out of the sea, now point two, the dragon gives authority to the beast. Point two, the dragon gives his authority to the beast. I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Revelation 13:1. The dragon stood on the seashore, saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads. There were 10 crowns on his horns. On each head was an evil name that blasphemes God. That's the end. So A in your outline, the beast out of the sea was given political power. Political power are your two blanks. So when this beast comes out of the sea, he is given political power. And the beast was given the power to do miracles as well. He could do amazing miracles. Note that the power given to the beast will be limited by God. The dragon and the beast can only do what God lets them do. He will allow the beast to exercise authority for a short time. Even while the beast is in power, God still will be in control. The 7 heads, the 10 horns. This is not a new picture or description for us. So this heads and horns, it's like the one of Satan in Revelation 12:3. So a chapter ago when we read 12:3, there was an illustration of what Satan looked like. Many of the smart people agree that the heads may represent successive world empires. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the final kingdom of the Antichrist. And I must not be one of the smart people, because I think and believe these 10 kingdoms are yet to come. Some think it's all done back there. I think it's still yet to come. Or they may be powerful countries even today. It could be today that we have the foundation of these 10 kingdoms in our time. The number 10 in the Bible is a number that symbolizes the totality, both human, military, political power, assisting the beast, the Antichrist, as he controls the world. So 10 in the Bible means an absolute controlling power of all segments. Now, there are 10 crowns on his 10 horns. In the Bible, horns always represent power. As in the animal kingdom, both offensive power to attack and defensive power for protection. So, around here, we are blessed with seeing big buck deer with antlers on them. And they are more powerful than the does without antlers. And if you've ever watched one of these confrontations between these two big animals and their antlers fighting over the girls in the herd that they would like to reproduce with, it's amazing what they do with their horns. Daniel's prophecy shows us that the human Antichrist will rise up from the 10 kings. So Daniel got this a long time ago. Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. On each head was an evil name that blasphemes God. Every time in history that a monarch has identified himself as a god, he is blaspheming the true God. Be on your outline. The beast looked like a leopard, had feet like a bear, and a mouth like a lion. So leopard, bear, lion are your three blanks. But the beast looked like a leopard and had the feet like a big bear and the mouth like a roaring lion. This looks a lot like Daniel's vision of his four beasts. So I thought it would be good to go look at that. The NIV Reader's Version of Daniel chapter 7 verses 1 to 8. So this is Daniel's vision. And look and see how close it is to what John is seeing many years later. It was in the first year of Belteshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. He was lying on his bed. His dream of vision passed through his mind. He wrote down what he saw. Daniel said, "I had a vision at night. I looked up and saw the four winds of heaven. they were stirring up the Mediterranean Sea. Four large animals came up out of the sea. Seen that before, haven't we? Each one has it different from the others. The first animal was like a lion, had the wings of an eagle, and watched until his wings were torn off. Then it was lifted up off the ground. It stood on 2 feet like a man, and the man's heart was given to it. I saw a second animal. It looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides. After that, I saw another animal. It was like a leopard. Its four wings and four wings of a bird had four heads. It was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision, I looked up and saw a fourth animal. It was terrifying and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed those that attacked it and ate them up. It stormed off on everything that was left. And it was different from other animals. It had 10 horns. I thought about the horns, then I saw another horn. It was a little one. It grew among the other horns. 3 of the first horns were pulled up and the roots made room for it. A little horn had eyes and the eyes of a man, and its mouth was bragging. That's the end. So, if we look at Daniel's vision, we have this beast that is mouth is bragging and doing blasphemous things. We've seen the image of the leopard. We've seen the image of the lion. We've seen the image of the bear. This beast we're studying in Revelation combines some of the four beasts from Daniel's revelations. So, what does this mean for us? It's a lot of imagery. What does God want us to see? I think this is what is correct. The beast of Daniel's vision represent idolatrous kingdoms. So, God started in the first prophecy with the idolatry of kingdoms. The beast of John's vision represents worldly kingdoms. It would do one well to be interested and observant of the worldly kingdoms in our time. So one was an idolatrous one, and this one is powerful worldly kingdoms. And we have those on our planet now. God wanted us to understand that state-controlled persecutions of Daniel and his three friends was God's illustration of what the seven churches under the Roman state and other ages later. So, how many countries can you name today that have powerful controlled by a monarch who has great power? Now, we're watching images of the Queen's big jubilee this morning. And it's the biggest party on the planet. But she really doesn't have power anymore. She's just a figurehead. But you can get a picture from what we're seeing on TV of what it will be like when the beast and the dragon are here and people gather around and are excited and worship them. When you look around the states, countries controlled by a monarch, there are more than 10 of them. It's easy to come up with some. Our president's going to Saudi Arabia in the near future to talk about oil. I mean, Saudi Arabia is one. You don't have to watch the news very long to see Mr. Putin. He's one. Or, you know, North Korea, China. I mean, we've got them. See, the dragon gave his beast his power, his throne, and great authority. So you have four blanks. Gave, power, throne, authority. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. This is what I would call limited delegated authority. So God gave power to the dragon. Now the dragon gives power to the beast, but all of them are limited by the one who gave them the power. The NIV Reader's Version of Revelation 13:4, they asked, who's like the beast? Who can make war against him? That's the end. Make no mistake, This is literally a real monster. This describes a vicious killing animal. In this context, this term represents both a person, the Antichrist, and his system of the world. D on your outline. People worship the dragon and the beast. People worship the dragon and the beast. And your three blanks are worship, dragon, beast. This beast is hideous. One might be terrorized into submission. But who would genuinely want to worship this massive ugliness? But people do, for some reason. My best guess is the rebellious world is fascinated with his power. But we believers have our eyes open from the scripture in this and other Bible revelations. So we shouldn't be deceived into worshiping this dragon and this beast. The beast in Revelation represents state power that demands worship. That's what it illustrates. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were unwilling to submit to state power, and they spent the night with lions. See, a demonized state threatens to kill them unless they will bow down and worship the idol. That was the case with them back then. What we read here in Revelation is different in what one would be required to worship. So back then, it was an idol. But what these people will worship in Revelations and what we are tempted to do today is a different kind of worship. Here, the temptation is more subtle than the idol. In the democratic countries, the states do not require literal worship of the government. They don't require that. But citizens are tempted to look at the state as if it were a messiah. So you're not required to worship the government, but it's easy for people in the world we live in to look at the one and only government that's going to save them from all of their ills and difficulties. What we read here in Revelation is the greatest concentration of earthly power ever put together. So it must be the remedy for all life's ills, right? A government power this great and takes care of its citizens so wonderfully, well, it must be the solution to all life's problems. This state is the solution for economic, social, medical, moral, and even spiritual ills. That's what it looks like in Revelation. Can you see this happening in our day? That people look to the government as a solution for their economic problems, their social issues, their medical needs, and even their moral standing. Can you see that in our day? When I was a young believer in the 1980s, I could not imagine a world system that could instantaneously communicate to everyone on the planet all at one time. Just in the 80s, I could not see how that was technically possible. But today, we call it the internet. There is now in place a situation, a vehicle that everyone on the planet at the very same time can see the exact same event, like it talks about here in Revelation. Even in the 80s, I couldn't imagine how the devil would pull that off, but I can now. I see it. So when I was a young believer in the 1980s, I could not imagine a world system where there was money that did not really exist, was not controlled by any government, and yet there it is. Today, we call it Bitcoin. In Revelations, there will be one monetary system that no government controls, and all buying and selling and wheeling and dealing is done in this economic system. And if you don't play in that system, you don't get to do business. And today, it could very well be the Bitcoin. When I was a young believer, and I couldn't imagine a world that would just blindly follow a government mandate to have something artificial inserted into their body. Today, we call it COVID-19 vaccination. I couldn't imagine back then that somebody would allow something that wasn't real, something artificial, to be injected into their body. And the government saying, you got to do that, or you can't do business, you can't go here, you can't go there. I couldn't imagine it back then. But today, it's real. When I was a young believer in the 1980s, I could not imagine a world system where one could wave a chip over a chip reader and money would be sucked out of their bank. Couldn't imagine it. In the 80s, I didn't even have a credit card. But today, I can just swipe a chip over top of a reader. I don't even have to touch it. And it sucks money out of my account instantaneously. In our world, they call it capital E, capital M, capital V, capital C, small o today. That's the system that you can actually draw money from someone's account without any physical contact. All it takes is this chip. So in Revelations, when they said they put a mark on somebody, and unless you had that mark, you couldn't do business, you couldn't do anything, and use this money that doesn't really exist. But I can see how you do it now. The convenience of just having a chip inserted into your hand so you can just magically wave your hand over a reader and pay for things. I could see that happening. But in the 80s, I couldn't imagine how that would work. But today I see it. It's technically available. I could do several more, but I think I tried to make my point. And I know that I'm not the smartest person on the planet. I know that I'm not one of the smart people. But I can see these things as components of this end that is in Revelation. Many of the components necessary to accomplish what John is prophesying are here today. Many of these things John has written down for us to read and study and understand are realities in our world. They're real. But in the 80s, they weren't. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that your Holy Spirit showed Brother John these truths and our brother Daniel these truths so we can understand what's happened and what's about to happen in your grand drama. Keep our eyes open. Keep our thinking clear. Keep our focus on your one and only Son and the perfect unity that he has with the Holy Spirit in our goal and desire to represent that in this world today. That our relationship with your Son and his Spirit would be so intimate that we would be one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause, 'cause I feel just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God. Every time I thought I let you down, always thought I had to earn my way, but I'm learning you don't work that way no. 'Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with a wide. And you tell me nothing I have ever.